and that I have been trying to do to help you. Obviously, you won't be able to, at least I couldn't do it, follow every single verse that I'm going through that I put on the back as we work our way through the message. But everything that's in that text up above on the outline, is all those verses are on the back for your edification to look and to use those to help. You don't really realize how much Solomon is talking about on various areas of life until you put them together, and it's just overwhelming when you look at the sheer number of verses on a topic. Today we are going to be talking about the blessing of a good name, the idea of a good reputation that's rooted in godliness and righteousness. And the Bible speaks much on this, especially Proverbs. We need to take heed to what it says and to go from there. Real simply, Proverbs 22, verse 1, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we come before you asking your help that we would be attentive and listen and not be distracted or become a distractor. That we would listen to what your words have to say, that we would incline our hearts, our ears, and make application to our lives. Father, you speak much of having a good reputation. Sometimes people get to the place, they don't care what anybody else thinks, and that is not the place we should be. We should develop lives and characters, and our lives should reflect that of honesty, decency, integrity, godliness, uprightness, all those things that bring about a good and reputable name, a name that one that can be trusted, and a name that has a sense of honor with it. And so, Father, we pray that we, as we work our way through, just in Solomon's handling of this subject, we have a lot to glean here, a lot of lesson to learn from and to apply. So, Father, we pray that you would help us in today's message for your glory. In Christ's name, amen. By way of introduction, a person's name in the ancient Hebrew world was not merely a designation, but an expression of that person's character as well. Usually when a parent gave a name, it wasn't always to connect with somebody in the family down to the lineage. It would hopefully that this person or son or daughter will reflect such and such a character. That is one of the reasons why people's names were changed in biblical times. When a major change in character happened, a new name was given to reflect that change, such as Jacob and Abraham and other names like that. In Proverbs, God had called his people to have names and character to be associated with dignity, integrity, honor, and respect. So when you go through the book of Proverbs, there are certain words that you look for that when you live in such and such a way, you get this kind of reputation, or this is how you are viewed and seen by others in light of your character. The key word that we will learn from here will be the word honor, and there are two different words for the word favor, where they are shown favor, and I'll explain that in a moment, and the other word is the word integrity. But before we do that, let's look at the two verses that I have listed there. Again, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. Loving favor rather than silver and gold. The idea here in that verse is clearly that we should always be people of integrity, that we would never want to strive for money and wealth, and in this case, gold and riches, even to the point of compromising our character, our conscience, and our integrity. The idea is better to have a good name, even if it leads to average life or even poverty, than to have great wealth and to compromise that. And you'll see that in Proverbs, not particularly in this verse, but I know what other Proverb verses teaches that certainly is implied here. Loving favor, not only from God, but from others, rather than silver and gold. The next verse is Proverbs 27, verse 21. The refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold. A man is valued by what others say of him. So we see here in Proverbs, the key word that I have stated for a good name, a good reputation, is the word honor. That word was used 14 times and had the meaning behind it of dignity, reverence, and respect and esteem. When they are treated and viewed and at the person of honor and respect and reverence. Why? Because of their character. That's what Proverbs presupposes. You don't honor and respect them because they can fear them and the fact that what they can do to you, they can hurt you, or what you can get from them. They honor you because they know the type of person you are, one of integrity and character. The next word is the word favor. This one was found 13 times. It was viewed as a person who is kind, showing mercy and pity. People who have a good name are people who are kind, merciful, people who have a sense of pity for others in difficult circumstances. The next word is the second word, I would call it favor, Hebrew word number two, used 14 times, speak to the fact that when you are treated with favor, you are treated with delight, people are pleased with you, they will show you favor and goodwill because of who you are in your character. Again, not because of what you can give, because you have a lot of money, because you have a lot of clout, you got a lot of influence. It is based on your character, not your bank account. Based on your character and not what your influence and power is. This is what we're talking about. Having a name that had respect. And the next word is the word integrity, used 7 times in the book of Proverbs. It speaks of a life of that lives upright. Or complete in character, meaning they're pretty well rounded in their character. They don't have any glaring flaws. They can clearly be called what is known in the New Testament as a person who is blameless. Not perfect, but you can't bring a accusation against them because they live such a consistent, well-rounded life. You can't point an area where they violated here or they did wrong there. That's the word. So collectively, we have a unique idea of words here that speak of a man or a woman of honor and respect who displayed compassion, who had the sense of mercy, who, because of your living by principles and convictions, that you are always seen with delight and goodwill because they know that your principles are consistent and you are upright. But I want to take a moment to explain sometimes some confusion between, and I've already used the word, but I want to bring clarity to it, and that is the difference between character and reputation. We need to really understand what this is. So first of all, the idea of a reputation. You can go through the Word of God and you can see how that word was used, maybe not precisely this word, but it's used in the same reference point, or even when you go to a dictionary, you can build a good reputation or a bad reputation. You can have either one. Okay? The idea here, Proverbs addresses that a good name or reputation is rooted in a life regulated and governed by the fear of the Lord. And let me say that again. Proverbs, when it said a good name is better than wealth and other things, it's saying this, that Proverbs is addressing that a good name or a reputation is rooted in a life regulated and governed by the fear of the Lord. Those who are close to you and know you will vouch for you as a person of honor, respect, and integrity. They will attest, affirm, and certify that you are the real deal. You are trustworthy. You are a reliable. Your reputation precedes you. Your reputation follows you. Your reputation, because of your consistency to basic biblical principles and conviction, you have consistently lived them out. So as you get older, your name gets one of what we see here in Proverbs. Your name is a good name, one is respected and favored and respected and loved and appreciated. One true reputation is determined by their moral and spiritual character, both in public and in secret. There are some people who live and work real hard to make sure they have a good image. All they're worrying about is the public image. But a good name is consistent both the public and secret. It's behind the scene when nobody else sees. In reality, that's the real you. That's the real you. Or how you handle things in secretly where not everybody else knows, but only a few know. And if everybody else knew, your good name or image would be tarnished. But here, a person with a good name is determined by their moral and spiritual character, both public and secret. The word character, or the idea of character, is grounded in a person's principles and loyalty to those principles. So right away, you see the difference is reputation is how people perceive you. Character is who you are, how you live. And you are grounded and governed by principles and loyalty to those principles and conviction. This means, if you have a good name, this means you have character that is governed by godly principles. Listen carefully what I'm about to say. And not just simply a character, meaning a person with a unique personality. We live in a world that thrives on personality, not character. We thrive and people just love people who know how to get people to laugh. They got the image, they got everything else. God is concerned with your inward character that manifested itself to others. Proverbs teaches a wise person seeks to have a good name, and it comes from years of consistent commitment to living a life of integrity, honesty, and uprightness. It is very important to understand that you can live a life of integrity, consistency, and blow it with one major sin and be forever tarnished and lose that good name. You say that's not fair. That's life. That's life. And yet people think they can just start all over all the time. That's not true. You only have one shot at integrity. And you only have one shot at a good name. You blow it, you most likely will be forever branded from your mess up. And it's sad. Do something good 1,000 times, you'll only hear it once. You mess up once, you'll hear it 1,000 times. Be careful. So character speaks of living and being governed by a set of principles. And to have a good name with that came from a godly character is living a life of in the fear of the Lord and with godly principles and conviction. I have a little special note here. Having said all of that, this proverb is presupposing a good and reasonably righteous community and society. However, we in our society used to never say anything bad or false about a person unless it was true. However, we live in a day where people think nothing of ruining a person by slandering and maligning that person's reputation publicly on social media. This is wrong and this is wicked, says the Lord. Very clearly. This is done usually and mostly by people who are politically motivated and not concerned about what is right and how it may ruin a person's life. And I have often have said to people in counseling who have been victims of such slander, if it is true, then confess and repent. But if it's not true, don't worry about your reputation. You can't control how people perceive you. You control your character. You keep your character intact. And those who know you know better. People who don't know you will buy and accept the lie. Please be careful with that. And so we need to understand, though, if it's not true, don't worry about your reputation. Be sure your character is intact and remain and have a and maintain a good conscience before the Lord. People can intentionally misrepresent your reputation, but they cannot do that to your character. They can't make you be something you are. They can say you're nasty and bad and XYZ, but people who know you, XYZ doesn't apply. Nasty and bad doesn't apply. I know the person. You maintain the character. I have to only throw this in as a disclaimer because Proverbs makes it clear that if you live a godly life, you'll have a good name. That's presupposing a society that honorable and respectful. But that has not happened in our time. The days of civility are gone in America. If you don't like what somebody said, people just lie about you, misrepresent you, yell at you. And civility instead of having exchange of ideas and talking. And so when somebody misrepresents you and who you are, those who truly know you will not be persuaded by the lies. But strangers and those who want to believe the lie will believe anything they want to hear. Please do not lose sleep when somebody who doesn't even know you say something wrong about you. Go on with your day honoring and glorifying the Lord. But if what they say is true, like I said from the outset, confess it and forsake it and repent. Change. People will do that. Our Lord warned it that the world hates us. The world's going to come after us, his own. Even Proverbs said the bloodthirsty hate the blameless. They hate the blameless. They don't like people who live godly, upright lives because it exposes them. But the upright, listen to this. While the bloodthirsty hates the blameless, the upright seeks his well-being. Though they may attack you, you're going to be looking out for their well-being. That's what upright people do. We don't go into playing their game because that dishonors the Lord. We know if any of this ever happened to you and you get misrepresented and maligned and slandered, four things you need to remember. Number one, always remember vengeance belongs only to the Lord. Don't put it in your hands. Let it go. Don't steam, fret, and get agitated and lose sleep because of it. Turn it over to the Lord, and the Lord will take care of it. Number two, continue to live out your godly principles and convictions. Don't worry about trying to follow and patch up your reputation because you'll spend the rest of your life trying to change what can't be changed. People who misrepresent you, just make sure it's not true. So you continue to live your godly principles. Number three, remember. Remember you not alone or the only one who has suffered unjustly. The Bible is full of examples of this. For example, Cain and Abel. Why did Cain kill his brother? Because his deeds were more righteous. King Saul after David. Why? Because David got more attention than King Saul. Ahab, the king of Israel, over the prophet Micaiah. He didn't like Micaiah because Micaiah told the truth about who he is and what he was. Jeremiah and his dealings with the false prophets. Jeremiah had to stand alone. He spoke the truth. False prophet wanted to give what people wanted to hear. Peace, peace, when there was no peace. Herod and John the Baptist. What did John the Baptist do to deserve his head being lopped off? All because he made a foolish vow. He was pleased by the dance of his wife's daughter. Wife told the daughter, I want the head of John the Baptist. Why? Because he exposed their wickedness and had no business being together. And she hated that and took it to the point of killing John the Baptist for it. And then, of course, the greatest example is Jesus Christ, our Lord. There had never been a more perfect man than Jesus Christ, and yet the so-called religious leader hated him because he indeed exposed their hypocrisy, exposed them for who they really were. So, now I said three things. Fourth one is, don't ever forget this one. The fourth one is, seek to glorify God through it all. What do? Do those four things. Remember vengeance, or don't put it in your, don't try to do something about it. Continue to live godly. Remember you're not alone. And thirdly, seek to glorify God. Remember, people who do this are the ones with the problem, not you. If you're living a life that is true, upright, and one that resembles the character of a good name. Point number two. Character trait of a person of an integrity. Proverbs 28, verse 6 read, better is the poor who walked in its integrity than one pervert in its way, though he is rich. Did you catch that? How many times have I have met people and have heard stories of people who have been come to a crossroad where they had to make a decision that would either to violate their conscience and to get wealthy or to gain more power or influence or a raise or promotion versus maintaining their conscience, a clear conscience before God, keeping their principles, and remaining status quo where they're at. We need to be careful. The Bible said right here, and the words are very clear, better is the poor who walks in integrity than one who is perverted though he grew wealthy. That's why the Bible made it clear again and again, don't be given to greed. Don't be given to materialism. Don't envy the wealthy. So what we see here in point number two, the character trait of a person of integrity is to live a life that brings a good name and favor. One must have a life that has the basic qualities in their character. As I had compiled all of these verses into what are the traits that I see that common among a person with a good name or a good reputation. Now, number one is they are good, righteous, and upright people. Proverbs 12, verse 2. A good man obtains favor from the Lord. Notice that word favor. That's the idea of a good name will be a blessing because God favors it and shows favor. But the man of wicked intention, he will condemn. Proverbs 10, verse 7. The memory of the righteous is blessed. So when people think of the righteous or your life after you passed off the scene, it's a name that speaks of honor, respect, and blessedness. But the name of the wicked will rot. Proverbs 14, verse 9, fools mock at sin, but among the upright there is favor. Upright, notice the word, upright. The righteous, the good man. Another thing that the character trait of these people is they're humble because they fear the Lord. They are truly humble. They're not a fake humility. It's not a blush and acting out a fake sense of humility. They are truly humble people. When they are praised, they think nothing of it because they know it came from God and that it's a gift from God, and they carry on. People who are inflated by praise, that is a problem. You live for those praises instead of realizing that the only reason why they did it was because of the fact that God graciously gifted you to be able to do that. They are humble because they fear the Lord. Proverbs 22, verse 4, by humility and the fear of the Lord. Notice these three words, riches and honor and life. A lot of times we zero in on riches and zero in on life, but we often miss honor. The blessing of a good name. The blessing of living in a life of integrity, a life of godly principles and conviction. And that you live those things consistently, day in and day out, week after week, month after month, year after year. But all three of these are tied together, humility, fear of the Lord, honor. Even another verse, Proverbs 15, verse 33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Again, those three words are there. Humility. Another aspect of their character is they show great mercy and pity to others. You see that in Proverbs 21:21. He who followed righteousness and mercy finds life, righteousness, and honor. Again, life, righteousness. Most people rather substitute that R with a different R, riches. But man, righteousness is a good thing for godly people. Godly people love living a life of righteousness, and then we have honor. Proverbs 14, verse 31, he who oppresses the poor reproaches his maker, but he who honors them has mercy on the needy. Godly people, people of integrity, people of a good name, not only do things by the book and with integrity and uprightness, they also have a sense of compassion, love, and mercy in action. They don't just feel about it. Those feelings are translated into action. These are people who, why do you think when a good person, a righteous person passes away, when people who have been recipients of their kindness and compassion and goodness and mercy see them and view them as blessed, a blessing. Another thing that very characteristic of a person with a good name is they have wisdom and understanding from a biblical standpoint, not from Mr. Earthly Worldly Wise Man, but from a biblical godly perspective. They have wisdom from above, and they have wisdom that has spiritual understanding and discernment. Proverbs 12, verse 8, a man will be commended according to his wisdom, but he who is of a perverse heart will be despised. Proverbs 13, verse 15, good understanding gains favor, but the way of the unfaithful is hard. So clearly you constantly see this clash all throughout the wise man versus the foolish man, the person who's given the wisdom versus folly. And when you bring a composite picture, it is night and day difference when you put them together. And that's what I'm trying to do systematically through the topics. So we see here, for instance, commended because of its wisdom. Wisdom is taking knowledge, applying it to life for the glory of God and for the good of our fellow man. Whereas those who have a perverse heart, who have a heart that's twisted and distorted, it's all about them and they care less about others. If it hurts them, if it offends them, too bad. That is not the right spirit. We want to be honoring to the Lord, and those who see us can see us as an upright person. Also, another character trait is a person with a good name does not brag about themselves. Proverbs 27, verse 2, let another man praise you and not your own, a stranger and not your own lips. All about a good name and how people view you and see you. Here it said that you let others do that. You don't need to do that. Even Proverbs 27:21, we touched on it earlier. The refining pot is for silver and furnace for the gold. And a man is valued by what others say of him. Don't tell me what you think of yourself. I want to hear what others think of you who know you. That important to understand. Young people, let me just say this. To get a good name takes a lifetime. You're not going to be able to get out of school in a couple of years have that name that usually takes a lifetime. It takes a lifetime. You didn't need to be. That's why you get on the path of wisdom and the fear of the Lord, and you stay on that path the entire life. Stay the course. Stay on track. Continue to, every step of the way in every area that you venture into, that you do it with dignity and respect and in the fear of the Lord. How you treat people, how you handle business transactions, how you deal with people and friends and issues and so on and so forth. So this is what we've seen is the character trait of a person of an integrity. Now in point number 3, we have the contrast and the memory between the wise and the wicked. Proverbs 10 verse 7 says that the memory of the righteous is blessed, but the name of the wicked will rot. Touch on it already, but I wanted to zero it in on this point. I rather to be spoken of with blessedness than he is rotten to the core. Wise people are people with good and honest name, while the wicked are those who live for themselves and for their own desires. And usually when anybody comes in between that, they get hurt, dismissed, or discarded. The center of the universe for the wicked is themselves. Everything is based on what they wanted to do. The word wicked, by definition, because we have a tendency to perceive, the word wicked is this, but we don't take the time to biblically define it, and we don't dare think for a second that we're wicked or have ever done anything wicked since the day of salvation. But here's the definition of a wicked person, going to the original word. They are guilty of sin and mischief. They are against God and others. Meaning, they won't follow the laws of God in their entirety. They won't follow the laws of man. They are a constant disruption to society and to people and to relationship. Wicked people can act in an active way or a passive way. They actively create chaos, or they passively not do what would hinder or keep from bad happening. So we see here that wicked people here, their name will rot. It doesn't necessarily mean, okay, the wicked and the entirety of all they've done. They may have an area, a lot of Christians may have they may be well-rounded, but man, they're bitter people here. They don't forgive. They hold a grudge. That's living a life of folly and foolishness. And because of that breakdown, relationship that connected to that breaks down, and that situation is not looked upon with favor, certainly not by the Lord. And anybody in the know would know that. While a person of honor and respect, their center is the fear of the Lord, and they treat others from that worldview. They see people and people created in the image of God. The memory of the wicked in the minds of others is viewed as rotten. Other verses use the word as ruthless, and they are despised and unfaithful. For example, Proverbs 12, verse 8, a man will be commended according to his wisdom, but he who is of a perverse heart will be despised. Proverbs 18, verse 3, when the wicked come, contempt come also. And with dishonor come reproach. So when a wicked person comes along, they bring contempt with them. They bring about dishonor with them. And they bring reproach. Proverbs 26:1. I love this one. Write this one down. Proverbs 26:1. You need to remember this one. As snow in the summer and rain in the harvest, So honor is not fitting for a fool. If you see a fool getting honor, something is twisted. If you see a wicked person, a person who does not live in the fear of the Lord, getting respect and honor, something is wrong. We're seeing it all the time in our culture and society today. Look who's glamorized and glorified on TV. Look who's glamorized and glorified in politics. They have to map the breakdown of the wisdom of God and the fear of the Lord. That's why we need to recover this. We need to get back to the basis of having a name that is respectful and honoring. But clearly, just like you don't see snow in the summer and theoretically rain in the middle of harvest, it is you don't find honor for a fool. On the other hand, the reputation of the wise is seen. When I looked at all the verses, they are a blessed memory. They will gain and retain their honor. They will be favored and much admired, viewed as a person of integrity and uprightness, a person of compassion and caring. Proverbs 28:6. We already went through this, but again, better is the poor who walk in his integrity than one perverse in his ways, though he be rich. So in closing, my final exhortation is this. We need to prayerfully desire and seek a good name in the eyes of the Lord and those around us. We need to care how people think about us, especially those that matter. Godly people, how they view us is important to know. But the idea here is that we need to prayerfully desire and seek a good name, a name of honor and respect that honors and glorifies the Lord. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 1 says this, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. Hebrews 11, you all know the Hebrew Hall of Faith, Hebrews chapter 11. We went through this big list of godly, faithful men and women throughout the Old Testament. And in the end of Hebrews 11, specifically verse 39, it said these words, listen carefully, and it really is applicable here. And all these, everything, all the people he just lifted from verse 1 on, all these having obtained a good testimony. They have obtained a good testimony. Through faith. And did not receive the promise. They lived faithfully and according to the faith they were given. And they had, because Old Testament saints didn't have as much information to work and build on as we do in the New Testament. And yet when you look, they hung on by faith with what they had. Even many of them never got the fulfillment of those promises until glory. They remained faithful. And all of that, God said they got a good reputation. That's significant when you look at Hebrews 11 verse 6. For without faith it is impossible to please God. Without faith it is impossible to please God. So we need to, beloved, live with the goal of having a good character and reputation that flowed from that. Two little points that I think is a bit of observation. Remember, your family had to live with your name and reputation after you're gone. So leave a good one. You don't want people saying, oh, you're so-and-so kid. Or even you go to that so-and-so church. We need to be careful. We need to live a life that is consistent with who we profess to be. Amen. And here's an interesting note I picked up from a commentator. Is that families who inherit bad names have had their names changed yet to get a fresh start. So don't tell me a good name doesn't make a difference. Even when you have people who had no connection or no reason to have this reputation, they inherit it because the family, mom and dad, inherit it. Oh, beloved, may we live and glorify God by having a good name for his glory. Father, thank you for your goodness. Help us to live lives that are pleasing and honoring and glorifying to you. May we seek to live faithfully. Now, Lord, we know that we can't ultimately control our reputation, but we can control our character. May we be true and faithful there. May we honor you in all that we do. We have these things in Jesus' name.